You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. There is still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790. That's 505-338-5790. Or text 505-585-LIVE. That's 505-585-5483. Today's show is sponsored in part by Ben Lucero at Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700. Or online at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect.
Happy Friday, and thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. Today's about the ladies. Have you heard about the 2022 Sister Experience? Staying sane in this crazy world, we have Larissa Lusco, Heather Hildebrand, and Angela Everett with us. Ladies, welcome.
Thank you.
So glad to be here.
Hey, Larissa, I've just met your friends. You're going to introduce them in just a second, but I want to read something from the Sister website.
Okay.
It says, it's time to take back our emotional, spiritual, and mental well-being to prepare for what is next. What are women facing now?
Gosh, Jim, there is so much that women are facing in this post-pandemic world. And I fear that there is this lingering anxiety, fear itself, depression, and things just don't look the way they used to. So how do we get back? How do we start functioning? And I really believe that it's a battle. It's a spiritual battle. And we need to take up our spiritual armor, and we have to be ready.
And you keep using the word we. There's a lot of people that say, I need to do this. And really, we're not supposed to do it by ourselves, are we?
Great point. That's right.
Would you introduce us to your guests?
Yes. So we have from Waco, Texas, Angela Everett. Both of these gals, I go to school with them at Trinity Southwest University. And so, Angela, I'll let you tell a little, talk about how many children you have and homeschooling. And then we have Heather Hildebrand with us as well. And she's from, Frederick, Maryland. And, we met at TSU, and we live in different states, but every Tuesday night we get together online on Vimeo, and so there are these chats that go on, and we have, like right now, we're having a symposium in archaeology, and so we come together a couple times a year, and just getting to know them and their hearts and their love for Jesus, it's just been a wonderful experience, and so hence Sister started this little organization, and I have sisters from all around the world.
And we're talking about the Sister Experience, Staying Sane in This Crazy World. It's September 23rd and 24th at the Marriott Pyramid Hotel.
Yes.
We're going to probably have you back on the show again to talk about it again before it happens, but we want to give ladies a heads up. And who do you want to come, Larissa? Who are the people that really need to be there?
Well, I think, first of all, it's for women, and women in every area and every walk of life. But surprisingly, the millennials and the Gen Zs, you know, I read this poll by Barna that said over a third, 39% of millennials and Gen Zs say that they feel sad or depressed. Mm-hmm. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking, Jim. So, For those women, and then Angela, why don't you talk a bit? Talk about yourself and who you think needs to come.
Okay, well, I'm Angela, and I'm very different because I have an even half dozen children. And that's, everyone always looks at me aghast, but yes, we have six that I've always homeschooled, so it's going on 29 years now. So I had my kids first and then decided to go back to school later in life. So I'm working on my PhD right now in archaeology and biblical history. So when I'm not homeschooling kids, I'm down to just one now. That's really weird and cool. But I'm working on archaeology and biblical history, but I'm also working on just learning more about the Bible. And so I was here in February. Larissa and I were kind of brainstorming about this event, and I got very excited because it's hard being – a mom, you know, it's hard juggling everything. And I experienced that. And so when she was talking about sisters coming together in community, and I'm like, that's what we need. That is what we need after 2 years of having to stay home and wear a mask and all that kind of stuff. We need women coming together to help each other and encourage each other to move forward, because the culture is different. When I had my first three kids, the culture was different than the way I've raised my last three kids. The culture, in my opinion, has declined in the past 10 to 15 years. And so things are just different now. They're more anti-God. And I feel like we need each other to help move forward and figure this thing out together.
So good.
I want to ask Heather, we're talking about community. You're from Frederick, Maryland?
That's correct.
So yes. The community is a little bigger than Albuquerque.
It is. And the communities on the East Coast, it seems, roll right into each other. Mm-hmm. So you leave Frederick and you're quickly in an area called Germantown, and you're quickly in an area right outside of D.C. And then you take a wrong turn and you're in Baltimore. So there's a lot. The communities are a lot bigger. However, just like we were just discussing, we felt the isolation as well during COVID. There is a lot of people around, but you can definitely tell that people lost their way of how to have that community thrive together and work together and do life together. And that was one of my driving factors when I was asked about sister, is that isolation factor that we all started to feel. And like, how do we emerge from that? How do we emerge from yoga pants and a t-shirt every day? You know, our hair doesn't look the same anymore. All those like small challenges that help us identify who we are. Of course, we're talking mainly for women, but for men as well, we were isolated from others to just grow in all those wonderful characteristics that we have. And I think it's amazing that, yes, I am from Frederick, but we experienced it here in Albuquerque with my school family. My children experienced it in California and then now in Bahrain. And it's just amazing that we were all in this track together yet alone.
Larissa, who is directing the culture, trying to control the emotional, spiritual, and mental well-being of women?
Honestly, I believe it's the media. I mean, it's social media. It's the main media, prime time.
So speak specifically about women, because, you know, we hear about eating disorders, and I know those affect men to a certain degree. But it seems to me as a man that women are always criticized. They're criticized for how much they weigh, how they look, if your skin's a certain way. I mean, there's a lot of pressure I would perceive on women.
There is. But yet the Bible has so much to say. I mean, even about eating disorders, you know, the Bible talks about how the temple, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And it's not about our outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And so I think that it's so easy. In fact, Angela and I were just having this conversation to go on social media. And I just feel like it's one of those necessary evils. I can see the good, and I love that I'm able to open it up and find someone encouraging me with a scripture, or I'm able to do the same. But then you see, you know, the highlight reels of everybody's perfect kitchen, perfect kids, perfect body. It's just like it's the enemy uses that to attack our mind to think, well, you don't look like that. How come your house doesn't look like that? How come your kids don't behave like that? And it's this cycle. It's a cycle. And one of the things we will be talking about is what we're feeding our minds, and how our minds can actually create new neural pathways towards positive thinking and healthy living, because it impacts our physical health as well.
Be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
That is absolutely right.
But I have to ask a question about that. This is for all three of you. Doesn't the Bible restrict a woman's ability to think and act freely?
So are you talking, I think.
Oh, I better not answer this.
Well, so you're probably referring to 1 Timothy, where Paul is telling Timothy that a woman must remain quiet, receive instruction, be submissive, and that he doesn't allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. And I honestly, I do agree with what Paul is saying here because Paul said it. It's in the Bible. Mm-hmm. But Paul also ties this passage to the created order. So back in Genesis, Paul says right after that, for it was Adam, in verse 13, for it was Adam who was created first and then Eve. And I believe that there is an order of headship, an order of leadership. And as women, we are to submit to our husbands. And I think that sometimes if we are dominant and strong, it says God told Eve, your desire is going to be for your husband, which means your desire is going to be to rule over your husband. But that's not the way it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And for a reason, God created this proper order, and we are to submit to our husbands. But I think sometimes when women are a little too dominant, our husbands just give up, and they'll let you lead. And that's just not a good way to lead. But our husbands should be leading us.
I don't think any of you would disagree, though, that men need to step up.
Well, and so it's interesting. This is actually part of what my lab is going to be about in my talk. And as I was getting ready for Sister, and delving into this subject, I think there's two words that we read in Scripture, one of them being submits or submission or being submissive, and also is the other, helper. And of course, we see helper right away in Genesis 2:18 when it talks about why we women were created. It wasn't good for the man to be alone, so he had to create a helper. Nothing else satisfied until he created the woman, and the woman was suitable as a helper for the man. And God said himself, it is good. It is good. It was very good. I'm sorry.
Yes.
And I think those two words really in our cultural world today have been taken so far out of context because of the creative order and how we were truly created to be. And part of that is also the man. So unfortunately, when the fall happened, one of the curses was that we as women, it would be the desire for our husband because of the ruling. But also one of the things that happened during that time is that the man was, he also had things that he was going to be required too. And that was one of the things was going to love us because we are lovely people. So he should love us in a wonderful, loving way as God the Father loves us as well. So I really think that one of the things that I learned during this is the relationship between woman and man, and then, you know, possibly marriage and a family, is to reflect the Trinity, Holy Trinity, because we have God. He is our Father. We have the Son, and then we also have the Holy Spirit, who is our helper. And I'm really hoping that that one word, helper, kind of goes away. People can walk away from it, understanding that it's a reflection of the Holy Spirit, because he is our comforter and our helper. And we were created to have a lot of those characteristics.
So well, good.
I'm going to just read a little bit of your bios, because I will say frankly that as a man, I'm a little intimidated by these bios. Larissa is the founder of Sister. She holds a master's in archaeology and biblical history, and she serves as the dean of the College of Women's Studies and Christian Leadership at Trinity Southwest University. She confesses to be hooked on archaeology, and she also handles the media relations for the excavation at Tell al-Hammam. Heather is wife, mother, missionary, and student. She lives in Frederick, Maryland with her husband, Chad. She's completing a Bachelor of Arts at Trinity Southwest and about ready to start her Master of Arts program. Mm-hmm. Pretty accurate.
That's pretty accurate.
This is all Proverbs 31 stuff, ladies.
Aww.
I mean, it's like crazy. I mean, you read Proverbs 31 and... Well, I'm going to tell everybody about Angela now. She's a PhD student in archaeology and biblical history at Trinity Southwest. Larissa, you already mentioned you're all classmates. She excavates annually at Tal al-Hammam in Jordan. She's passionate about sharing archaeological discoveries that confirm the reliability and historicity of the Bible. And she's married to Zach, and they have 6 children. I do identify a little bit with you, Angela, because I have 5. And I will tell you a funny story. Several years ago, I went right to a village inn, and I was sitting there eating breakfast by myself, and there were 5 women, and they were spending all their time complaining about how their husbands never changed diapers, wouldn't wake up and give the baby a bottle, this and that, and I was just by myself. So I couldn't help it. I stood up with a smile when I was done, and I said, ladies, I want to encourage you a little bit. I have five children, and I believe that I can change diapers twice as fast as any of you because I've done it for five kids. And they all laughed. They laughed.
That's wonderful.
But it was really true, and now I'm doing that with my granddaughters. And I know this sounds silly, but yesterday I'm watching my granddaughters, and I'm really slow changing the diapers. I got to speed this up. My expectations were a little bit hard. Andrew, let's go to you. What needs to change?
Oh, boy. Well, the one thing about life is it's ever-changing. We can count on that it's going to change, and we're in a place where we need to change some more, at least that, in my opinion. One thing I think we need to change coming out of the pandemic as Christian women is that we need to know the Word of God. And I don't mean just we read one chapter a week and, you know, we just go on about our lives, because that was part of my Christian walk. You know, oh, I'm punching my time clock. I'm reading the Word. No, what I mean is I mean studying the Word. I mean internalizing it. I mean taking it, living it out as God's sword. And because I feel like we need to start actively living out the Word of God, because it has all the answers. I mean, it's God's right. Word. Mm-hmm. It has all the answers. That's what led me to my topic. So I'll tell you, when we brainstormed about this in February about having sister come together, I took a flight that afternoon back to Texas, and the first 10-15 minutes of that flight, I was brainstorming and praying all at once to the Lord, crying out to Him, I need something. Give me something new, something that will excite me and will excite women, and that will steady us and bring us hope.
Good.
So about 10 to 15 minutes of that flight, the first few minutes was that prayer, me wrangling with the Lord, give me something. And it took about 15 minutes. And His answer was, and it was very clear in my mind, I give you myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately thought about metaphors of God.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why did I think of metaphors? I don't know. But I think it was just Him saying, I'm giving you myself. Start looking at my metaphors. Okay, so the next hour and 20 minutes, which is about how much it takes to get to Dallas, I was thinking about metaphors just constantly. And I was like, what do we focus on? We focus on God is my Father. God is a good shepherd. Mm-hmm. God is my friend. And I started thinking of other ones. And I'm like, there's like tons of God metaphors. And I was thinking, we don't know who Yahweh is.
Correct.
We don't really know Him. We just know little bits and pieces of Him. I mean, how steadying, how much would that give us hope if we start really knowing who Yahweh is, the wonderful relationship He's offering us, the intimacy, the love, the caring. So anyway, that's what I came to. I'm going to talk about God as our husband, mm-hmm. and God as our clothing, which sounds so weird, but it's there. And I chose these because I feel like this is what needs to change. We need to know Him. We need to know who He is. We need to incorporate it into our lives. And so I'll tell you the second thing I need to change. I think we need changes. We need community. We need to get back together after 2 years of being isolated.
Amen.
We can't do this thing alone.
Amen.
Yeah. So I think we need to come together and sister, let's be the start of community and let's do this thing together.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Larissa Lusco, Heather Hildebrand, and Angela Everett are in studio, and we're talking about the sister experience, staying sane in this crazy world. It'll be September 23rd and 24th, Marriott Pyramid Hotel in Albuquerque. You can go to sistersister.me for registration information. We're going to be back to talk to these three ladies a little bit more. We're going to talk about what a supernatural lifestyle is all about. We'll be right back.
I'm Jonathan McKee, and you're listening to Plugged In.
I doom you and everyone else to a life of bad luck. We need to fix this.
Sam is the unluckiest girl on the planet, or so the movie Luck on Apple TV Plus tells us. She was especially unlucky in finding a forever family. She never found one, despite 18 years of trying. She's on her own now, but Sam still has some friends at the orphanage, and one, Hazel, needs a little luck herself. Sam finds it in the form of a lucky penny, but before she can give it to Hazel, Sam loses it. Apple's luck is flush with bathroom humor and can sometimes feel spiritually murky, but Sam reminds us that love is more important than luck, and even bad luck can build good character. It has some great messages about adoption, too. We'll give luck a 4 out of 5 for family friendliness. Go to PluggedIn.com for more great movie reviews. I'm Jonathan McKee for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
Staying sane in a crazy world. That's the theme for an upcoming weekend of the Sister Sister Conference in Albuquerque. Sister Sister features keynotes from Jenny Lesko, Lenya Heitzig, Dominic Doan, and Larissa Lesko. Ladies, plan to attend Staying Sane in a Crazy World, Friday and Saturday, September 23rd and 24th at the Marriott Pyramid Hotel. Here's Jenny Lesko.
I believe that part of the mother load is honoring God first. They feared God, and I believe that God calls us to honor authority, but we honor God first. And the result of this, it says that God dwelt well with the midwives, that the people still multiplied. So even though all of this harshness was going down on God's people, they were still multiplying. Isn't that how God works?
Information and registration for Sister Sister, Staying Sane in a Crazy World at sistersister.me. That's sistersister.me.
The Sister Sister Conference in Albuquerque is presented by Trinity Southwest University. sistersister.me.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what formed Utah's Great Salt Lake?
Chris, the Great Salt Lake is much more salty than seawater because it has water coming in but no rivers leaving the lake. Whatever dissolved solids come in stay there, and as the water evaporates, the lake increases in salinity. It turns out that Salt Lake is really just a leftover remnant of a much larger lake called Lake Bonneville. When the Great Flood of Noah's Day drained off the continents and places water ponded and became inland lakes, most of these lakes have since drained either through evaporation or through catastrophic failure of the natural dams which were holding them in. Lake Bonneville evidently drained northward through the Snake River Canyon within the last few thousand years. Chris, all the evidence fits that back to Genesis truth of Earth history.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. Join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
Larissa Lesko, Heather Hildebrand, and Angela Everett in studio with me. They're all part of the Sister Sister experience, Staying Sane in This Crazy World. It's going to be the experience on September 23rd and 24th. Marriott Pyramid Hotel. You can register at sistersister.me. Larissa, right. How do you live a supernatural lifestyle?
Well, Jim, I think coming out of this post-pandemic world, I'm speaking to myself and maybe the group of friends that that I have community with, and I feel like there was just a lot of it became this, like Angela was saying earlier, just this routine, and it became just this ho-hum way of just, okay, I'm at home today, I'm going to have my quiet time, and I'm able to check it off the list. But missing that community really impacted me more than what I realized. And so I think in the last year, it's having to get back and look, start studying the Word, looking into it, and really doing a thorough hermeneutical, exegetical study of the Word of God has been really important. And I think that is what can take life to the supernatural, because it's one thing to read the Word of God, but it's another thing to read it in the original language that it was written to, and to understand the culture of people that it was written for. And then being able to draw out for ourselves, exegete, what is in this for me and what is meant.
All three of you as archaeologists, obviously very intimately familiar with Tal al-Hammam.
Yes. Absolutely.
So most people, even people that are not Bible believers, they understand or have heard about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And basically there's a combination or a conversation between Lot and God. Mm-hmm. Lot's trying to plead with God not to destroy the city. Mm-hmm. And they negotiate back and forth. Well, if you find 20 people or one person or whatever, and God finally says, you got to get out of the city. Yeah. I'm going to destroy it. And what has been found, what's been discovered, and Larissa, I don't know about Angela and Heather, how many times they've been there, but you've been there a lot, mm-hmm. and there's been a destruction layer discovered. There's a mm-hmm. paper that's been published that you're talking about the yes. last couple days at your archaeology symposium. And that is historical scientific information that shows that the city of Sodom was destroyed exactly the way it was described in the Bible.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's supernatural. And I don't think most people read the Bible. They don't read about the creation or Noah's Ark or the story of Jonah being swallowed by a whale or any. They don't. People have a tendency, I think, to read those as stories, mm-hmm. not understanding that they are actual descriptions of what happened.
That's right. That's right. And one thing at Trinity that we're really, you know, we've been students, all of us, for several years now, a few right. years. I mean, it takes an average as an adult in this setting, about 5 years mm-hmm. to 3 to 5 years to earn your master's degree, and then another 3 to 5 for a PhD. So Dr. Collins, whom you have as a guest, you have him as a guest regularly, they believe in the Bible. They believe in the authenticity of the Bible. And we do, too.
Yes.
I mean, it's real.
And you know, I think one of the things that and I've been in the seat that we've all talked about, too. That I get up in the morning. I do my devotional. I find a verse I want to read. I have a Bible study, you know, requirement that I need to do. And, you know, you get into the routine. But what we're talking about here, next level, is God is active in our lives.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He was active in history, obviously, creation through what we were talking about with Sodom. And that's not separated. That is current, active, live, and future as well.
That's right.
And so when I heard the word supernatural a while ago, I think I drew a line and there was separation. Like, nope, that's not what I'm supposed to get into. I have no idea what that's about. So that's just weird. however, as I have learned to know him more, as I've had personal experiences, had to cry out to him at certain times, had to give him praise at certain times, and felt the joy, felt the love, seen the activeness that he has in my life and my family's life, even if they don't recognize it. I can see him working. Mm. Had people come speak to me, total strangers, while I'm in prayer asking for answers. Mm. That's him being, I don't know, besides, the word love cheapens it because mm. there's so many beautiful ways that we can express love, experience love. And, you know, I say I love pizza.
Right.
So I don't want to use the word love and cheapen like what those type of supernatural experiences can just fill us up with, because he just touches us in a certain active way all the time, daily, telling us to take a right turn sometimes instead of a left turn because there's danger up ahead. Now, you can think of that as, you know, a metaphor for something or something true. But I think that's one of the things. When people hear the word supernatural, is they start to separate that's not a realm they want to delve into. But really, don't let that word stigmatize what we're trying to express as far as he's active in our lives from past to present and continues.
Well, and I think also the what we can forget are the daily trials and mm-hmm. tribulations, things that we experience. I mean, here in the West anyway, it can be easy to, you know, chalk it up to, oh man, that was my bad. And sometimes it is. Sometimes this falls on us. But we need to remember that there is a spiritual battle that is taking place that we need to be prepared for, and that we need to fight with differently. So there are ways that we can pray, but when they brought the young boy to Jesus and the disciples couldn't cast him out and Jesus cast him out, and later they ask him, well, how come we couldn't cast it out? He talks about their faith, and then he says, but this kind can only be cast out from fasting and prayer. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole other level of spiritual battle. I mean, fasting, and to see the results that come out of that. And it takes commitment. It takes discipline. And, I remember having someone ask me years ago, hey, I know that you are a regular faster. Could you fast and pray for this particular issue, that whatever they were having? Mm-hmm. And I look back at that and I think, no, that's your battle. Like, you've got to fast. And I realize some people have health issues, but sometimes you can fast a breakfast if you may be drinking orange juice, if you have hypoglycemia or whatever. But Jesus tells us when you fast. It's not if you decide to fast, but when you do, he tells us to not look like we're fasting. And so anyway, it's, I think that takes us into the supernatural realm as well.
I want to talk specifically about the Sister experience. Again, it's September 23rd and 24th at the Marriott Hotel here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And you can go to sistersister.me to register. But I want to put this picture in your mind. There are people, because of COVID and other things, that they used to have a drink once in a while, but maybe now they find themselves drinking a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they find themselves eating a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they've seen all these messages about how much you should weigh, and they feel that they weigh a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they look at the last makeup, whatever the makeup company commercial is, and they don't look like the woman on that.
Right.
Whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are they going to learn? What if they want to break out of all of that and actually be around women that are for women and are going to encourage one another? How do they do that?
Well, I think coming to this event, first of all, the idea, and like Angela touched on earlier, community, the idea is to bring us back into community, back into fellowship. And I know that there are many churches, they have home fellowship groups, and some are in community, but I do know that there are some women who are still alone and they're doing home church by themselves. And I just can't stress the importance of the community of believers and sisters, and also worship. The scripture says that God inhabits the praises of his people. And I'll tell you, when if I can't make it to church, if I'm out of town, it's a very different experience watching it online versus being in the sanctuary, being able to worship and praise and sing and listen to the message. The Spirit of God is truly present. So I think gathering this community of believers and experiencing the worship and teaching, I really think, and my hope is, that women will meet other women who maybe are experiencing or walking the same journey that they're on, and build a community if they don't have one. But even if you do have one, then great. Come on over and let's encourage others. Encourage others in maybe something that you've gone through.
Talk to us about your speakers.
Okay, so we have, from our very own church here, we have Lenya Heitzig. She'll be sharing with us on anxiety and depression. We have Dominic Doan, who was here a month and a half, 2 months ago.
He deals with people that are having doubts about their faith.
Yes.
And really just very candidly addresses that having doubts is normal.
Exactly.
Right. Right.
Yes, and so he's joining us. Mm-hmm. That's going to be great. Jenny Lesko, my daughter-in-law, she will be joining us. We had the opportunity to spend the weekend with her in Montana this weekend. In fact, Angela was there as well. They were having a youth conference. She took her kids and friends from the city. Another friend of mine, BJ, she took a couple of teens, and it was a great experience. And Jenny was able to share with these youth. So she has so much in her to pour out to these women. You know, she lost her 5-year-old daughter and has walked a beautiful, humble journey. And I really believe God's going to use her. We, of course, have Angela and Heather, and we've got, gosh, a half dozen other anchors. They're going to be anchoring these labs. So these labs are like workshops. These gals are going to come and share from what the Lord has laid on their heart about the insanity that's gone on and how we can, what can we offer women to just help based from our own journey and what we've experienced.
So Heather, you're going to speak, you're going to be having this lab.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask you, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I'm going to ask Larissa and Angela too.
Okay.
What do you hope happens for the women after the lab?
What do I hope? I hope when they leave, they've heard something that, even if it doesn't pertain to themselves, that it's a gem that they can carry with them for other people in their lives. Because as our communities get back together, as our families may change and grow older, start families of their own, change shape. I one of the things that I have learned as my walk has progressed is that there are some things that I experienced 10, 15 years ago. And it was like a nice little a treasure that I put in my pocket. And lo and behold, it comes up at the most unexpected moment, maybe for myself or maybe for a loved one or maybe even for a stranger. So I think that would be my hope, is whatever that the women get to experience over the weekend, that it could be something immediate that energizes them, wakens up their faith again, makes them curious about something that they didn't know about. And then further on, as their walk continues to grow, their families change and look different. Their careers might look different. That tapestry of people that we're interwoven with, that treasure that they received during Sister, even back in 2022, is going to reemerge and they'll get to use it.
It's interesting that, you know, you're from another state. Mm-hmm. It sounds like technology is going to allow the community of women to be rather large and geographically pretty spread out.
Yes. Yes. I agree. One of the things that I hope that they walk away with is a new perspective and reality on the battle and the fight. What's going on? What's happening in our culture today? And this isn't a time. It isn't a time to settle in and come out of the last couple of years, you know, just stretching. This is a time for battle, Jim.
Yeah.
And we need to take back what the enemy has taken. And it's going to require work on our part. We need to armor up. I mean, we need our shields. We need our swords. We need our helmets, you know, the full armor of God. So we need that. And that's what I'm hoping, that women walk away as warriors. Because we need it. Our families need it.
I've read your three bios, and there are people listening that go, well, I don't know a lot about the Bible. I haven't studied a lot. And so what I want to talk about in our last segment when we come back is, what do you need to know before you come to this conference? And will this be the impetus for you to really put together a plan and to start working out? And when I say working out, I mean in all ways, spiritually, physically, and mentally. Mm-hmm. We'll be back with Larissa, Heather, and Angela right after these messages. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Summer is nearly over, and the ladies of Valencia County are ready to fellowship around the Word of God. The 16th annual Sharing Hearts Women's Conference will be taking place Friday and Saturday, August 19th and 20th at Calvary New Harvest in Las Lunas. This year's theme is Greatest Stories Ever Told. Ladies will enjoy a weekend filled with workshops, activities, messages, worship, and more. Ladies of all ages, join Calvary New Harvest in Las Lunas Friday and Saturday, August 19th and 20th. Register now at calvarynhll.org.
Lighthouse Christian Radio in Belize has been having an impact in the Caribbean since 2003. Located in the heart of San Pedro Town, just off the northern coast of Belize, it covers Ambergris Cay, Cay Caulker, parts of Belize City, and portions of Northern Belize District with Bible teaching programs, news, and music. Here's Lighthouse Christian Radio General Manager Clive Welsh.
Belize have been well evangelized, but as far as discipleship and applying the Word of God to your life just isn't there. And that's where a radio station comes in, to be able to do that, because some of the best Bible teachers taking it verse by verse. That's what we want to be able to make that available as well to our listeners.
The needs of Lighthouse Christian Radio include support for the staff, equipment updates and repairs, as well as resources for outreach. Find out more about the ministry of Lighthouse Christian Radio at heintendsvictory.org/lighthouseradio.
Having back pain? It's uncomfortable, but not uncommon, and you may be part of the 80% of people who experience temporary acute back pain, or one of the 8% who live with chronic back pain. Either way, it's not a pleasant experience and can affect your sleep, daily routine, and ability to work. Fortunately, there's things that can help prevent and manage pain when it does occur. First, maintain a healthy weight, use good posture, wear low-heeled, comfortable shoes, lift with your knees, practice good ergonomics, incorporate stretching and strength training into your workout routine, and eat foods high in calcium and vitamin D. When back pain gets you down, keep things light and low impact, but keep moving. Walking, stretching, and swimming will help. Apply ice if there's inflammation or heat to relax tight muscles, and sleep on your side with a pillow between your knees. From Samaritan Ministries, a health-sharing ministry, I'm Doug Chamberlain with a Family Health Checkup. For more, visit us at familyhealthcheckup.com.
This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. Join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
I hope you're having a great Friday, the 2022 Sister Experience. Staying sane in this crazy world is September 23rd through the 24th at the Marriott Pyramid Hotel here in Albuquerque. Larissa, how do you register?
So you can register by going to sistersister.me, sistersister.me, and all the registration information is on there. We don't even have all of our speakers. I was looking at the website. We don't even have all of our speakers listed on the website. We've got a spiritual director that will be sharing. We have a mental health nurse. She just retired, but she was a mental health nurse for 30 years, would you guys say,
yeah.
Gail?
I'm sorry.
So anyway, and we've got several others. One has a marriage ministry, and we have a gal who does professional barrel racing. I mean, we've got a lot, and it's going to be great. So sistersister.me.
What I think people have a perception that may be outside the church, that those Christians are so judgmental. Those Christians are trying to frame me or mold me into a certain thing. And I actually view Christians completely opposite of those two perspectives. The Christians are for you. Mm-hmm. And you can talk to them about something, and they're going to be there to back you and to pray for you and to walk with you and to live life with you. And that's the community that you've all three described.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. And I think, you know, as Christians, and I would say for this group, we want to be known for love and what we're for. And so this is for anyone. I mean, you don't have to be a Christian to come. If you have a friend who isn't, come, but they will likely hear the gospel. I will tell you that, because that's the core of our faith, of who we are, of our being. I mean, without that, what's my...
Well, yeah, and I wouldn't apologize for that. What I apologize for Christians is, like I was about 35, 40 years ago, I'd go up to somebody and hand them a Four Spiritual Laws track.
Right.
And if they didn't immediately think what I thought, I'd walk away and never talk to them again. Well, that was not evangelism. That was not love.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't think about making sure they had food and water and, you know, sustenance. And I didn't sit down on a bench and listen to what was going on with their lives. You know, and now that God's taken me this place in my life, I've had a lot of things that have humbled me. And so that early arrogance, I hope, is gone.
Right.
But I, just meeting you two, I've known Larissa a long time, I don't see arrogance. I see just care.
Mm-hmm.
Angela, you've got six kids. You've got plenty to do without being involved with Sister. So you've got a heart to love people.
Absolutely. But I will tell you, I identify with your story. I was one of those judgmental people. So, and the Lord is really good at humbling you. He is really good at beating the judgmentalism out of you. And he has. And he has. And I'm thankful for it, because you can't minister to people. You can't share the gospel. You can't do anything for his kingdom when you're looking down on others. So I'm thankful for the hard knocks he's given me. And I'm not the same person I was 30 years ago when I came to Christ. And so, I have struggled being a mom of six. It's hard. And so I've not always had the mentors in my life.
Mm.
I want to be that for somebody else.
Amen.
I do.
And I had I did not grow up in a Christian household at all. I came to know the Lord actually through my husband now, but we dated in high school. But it was a long journey. And I would say for the longest time, I wore a mask, pretending to be a Christian. Not that I didn't believe in what I said I believed in, but I didn't understand the walk. I was intimidated by reading the word. I was intimidated by like what other people do have the wrong idea of Christians. I was intimidated by other Christians. I was not going to open myself up to be vulnerable to talk in an adult class. I would just sit there and smile and nod my head. I still find myself doing that sometimes. It's a defense mechanism. But I really learned through some, you know, through some things in life that that's not what he wanted for me. And so I really identify with the woman that is sitting there, or anyone, I shouldn't say just women, just anyone in general, that a piece of scripture is spoken or a word is spoken. That's one of my weaknesses is somebody will, and I'll go, I should know exactly where that is. I should be able to quote that chapter and verse, and I can't. And I totally identify with those people that are sitting there kind of cowering back or putting on that mask or putting up a barrier because you have to be vulnerable sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to be vulnerable and let the pride go so you can be able to learn and not only what he has for you, but just other people and how we do life together, how we are yes. believers and we are in the family of God together.
So good.
Larissa, Sister Sister is about events. And bringing women from all kinds of different churches, people that are not involved in churches. And really, it sounds like you're going to be strengthening women to go back into their churches and make those communities stronger.
That's our goal and that's our hope. We just want to pour in life experience. And I just feel like having so many different speakers, I think every woman will be able to identify with someone. Maybe it's their personality or maybe it's their journey, their story. But that is the hope. And who knows? We need encouragement too. So maybe they're going to show up and we're all going to be together. And that's our hope, Jen.
September 23rd and 24th, Marriott Pyramid Hotel is the 2022 Sister Sister Experience. Staying sane in this crazy world. You can register by going to sistersister.me. Ladies, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having us, Jim.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.